Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
We're getting close in just 2 days. Don't miss the most anticipated title fight in years. Undefeated heavyweight champ Deontay Wilder takes on 29-0 Tyson Fury in the rematch the sports world has been waiting for. Saturday at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Buy it now on pay-per-view or the Fox Sports app. And yesterday's press conference between these two, well, it got extremely heated with profanity-laced insults and trash talk flying back and forth. How about we take a listen to some of the highlights?
Guys, please take a seat. Let's start the news conference.
Mike, be back.
You big dosser. You big dosser. You get me back.
And I brought you to big
talking,
time boxing.
Tyson,
I give you your
I'm
biggest payday
banana peel.
You've ever had.
I'm talking big woman.
You was fighting in front of 100,000 people.
I'm talking big mama.
On TV.
I brought you back.
You know,
well. Shannon, in your opinion, who won the press conference?
I don't really know, because at the end, Skip, they were very complimentary of each other. So you don't really know. You know, obviously, they're still trying to build a fight up and try to set it up. But I'm going to give a slight edge to Fury, because Deontay Wilder was talking. He's like, okay, I'm undefeated. You're undefeated. We're the first and third ranked heavyweights. And Deontay asked him, like, well, who's number one? He's like, I'm number one. And you mean to tell him, and Wilder's like, so I'm number three. Who's number two? Fury's like, your mama. So, you know, he got a little jab in there like that. But, Skip, you know, like I said, I don't really know if there's really any animosity between these guys. You know, when Tyson fought, Tyson was real with it. Press conference, Skip, I don't know if you remember this. You remember Riddick Bowe and Larry Donald was going to fight in 94. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we got the video, but I had him to pull it. This is when you know a press conference for real and guys really don't like each other. We got that video. This was watch this, Skip.
Whoa.
Okay, I don't like you.
Whoa.
So, you run the risk of messing up your money before you actually get in the ring to make your money. That's when you're like, okay, this thing for real. How Larry Donald stood and take two flush like that? Woo! I'm going to give a slight edge. You know, Skip, you know how these press conferences go. They go a little over the edge. People face things. I'm sure there are people that listen like, But it's all, you know, showmanship, selling a fight. But I'm going to give a slight edge. I give a slight edge to Fury. Not so sure that's going to take place in the ring, but okay.
Skip. I give a huge edge to Wilder.
Really?
Because to me, if you watch it carefully, Fury is acting. Fury looked like he had been studying videos of Conor McGregor. He's trying to go Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Fury was selling. Deontay Wilder was dead serious, and it got real deep serious for a while. I agree they tried to sort of kiss and make up at the end in a little way, but there was this one long exchange about who needs who more in the middle of this thing that got pretty ugly. And it was very interesting to me because the Wilder I saw, and I don't know him personally, but it looked 100% legit angry. And he was talking about, and he was saying it right across the moderator, obviously, to the face of his soon-to-be opponent. And he said, don't he ever dare say that he got me to big-time boxing. I'll slap him. And I believe if he'd had the chance at that moment, he might not have decked him, but he would have slapped him, which can be an even worse insult than decking, right?
Yeah, you slap a man,
yeah. Yeah, okay. He says, Wilder continued, don't ever forget when I found you, you were strung out on coke, which, by the way, Fury has admitted to.
Right.
And Wilder goes on, when I found you, you was like big as a house, which was about 400 pounds, contemplating killing yourself, which he has admitted to. So don't you ever forget, I brought you back.
Right.
There is truth to that.
You're true.
But then Fury countered much more rationally and reasonably. You know, he wasn't angry. He was just defending himself. And Fury said back to Wilder, yeah, he gave me an opportunity, but I gave him the biggest paydays of his whole life, brought him to the biggest stage in the world. And here he is. This is how he thanks me. I put millions into his account. You owe me everything. Welcome to big time boxing. Okay, there's truth on both sides.
Exactly.
Because the truth is, they needed each other, right?
Yes.
Okay, because remember, after Fury, after the Klitschko fight, he just dropped out of sight. He went 3 years without fighting.
Because he lost the belt, Skip. Remember, he lost the belt because he couldn't face the automatic challenger. So he lost the belt within a month.
He's talked about all of his depression and his cocaine use. And it was Wilder who went to him and said, hey, come back and fight me. And you're going to have to fight a couple other guys to get ready for our first fight.
Right.
And he did, and it was a big payday on a bigger stage because it was a Staples.
Right.
Neither one of them had deserved even Staples to that point.
Right.
You could argue that Fury had.
Right.
But Wilder had not. So all of a sudden, these are two huge paydays.
Right.
But in the end, Wilder was getting insulted by the fact that he's being insulted by the guy he felt like he went and got and saved.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be Deontay if it wasn't for me.
Right.
He was, and Skip, he was knocking people out, but we were like, okay, the level of competition, are they any good? It wasn't until he got with Fury, because we believe Fury is a skilled boxer. He's legit.
We know he is.
So, okay, he goes the distance. So now, but they needed each other, Skip, for the simple fact, if we believe these are the three of the best heavyweights, Wilder, Fury, and Anthony Joshua. The way you want to put them. Joshua seemed unwilling to fight either one of the guys.
Yeah.
So it's only natural that the two or the three end up fighting. So now Joshua tried to take a little cream puff, didn't prepare adequately, and got carried. So some of the luster, some of the shine is off of him.
Definitely.
Now we get these two guys. Styles make fights. We always heard that, Skip. We get the classic guy, the counterpuncher guy, pivot, the great rope, control the ring, and then you got a guy. See, the thing that, when he shoots the jab, when Deontay Wilder shoots the jab, he's not shooting the jab like Lennox Lewis and Larry Holmes. They shot the jab to hurt you, Skip. He's just basically using it as a range finder to see how close he can get to you before he comes with that bomb. So he's not trying to really try. So I'm interested to see, because we heard Fury says, I'm going to take the fight to him. I'm going to try to suffocate him, put pressure on him.
Okay.
But the thing is, Skip, when this guy here, normally guys, as the rounds dissipate and you've been fighting, maybe not so much for heavyweights because they don't expend the kind of energy. Mm-hmm. They just don't throw frivolous punches like lightweight because that's a lot of man you got to try to move around him on you and throwing punches like that. But for him to have dynamite in the 12th round, Fury. Fury knows. He's never out of harm's way.
Yep. So, in the end, my takeaway from watching all of this, start to finish, was yesterday I told you I loved the way that Fury finished that fight because it shocked me because he attacked after he sort of resuscitated himself. I don't know how he got up, but he got up. I thought the count was too long. But he did get up, and then he went into attack mode, probably out of just sheer desperation.
Yeah, he had to.
Started working.
Right.
And so now he's just out there on a limb saying, I'm going to rough him up in the first round. I'm going to knock him out in the second round because I'm going to attack him from the start.
Right.
And that is truly offending Wilder because he was saying yesterday, you can't knock out me or anybody else. You're not that guy.
So he was calling him out.
I felt real raw anger from Wilder.
Right.
And I believe that now I'm starting to lean toward him in this fight because I think he's going to carry it into the fight.
Right.
I think if he can pull it off, he will punish him as quickly and convincingly as he can punish him.
Yeah, but I think he's going to have to, be a little bit more aggressive in the fight because, Wilder, he's methodical. He's just trying to figure it out. And he let guys get ahead of him. I mean, you look at Ortiz. Ortiz was ahead of him. Because he was doing all that, but he got he got reckless. Mm. He got close to him, and they hit the light switch on him, and it was out.
People are excited about it, too.
Well, they should be, because I think Wilder's going to try to put him down quickly.
Let me take it back, Skip. You know why people are... We got an American heavyweight. For the longest time, it was Lennox Lewis. It was the Klitschko brothers.
Yeah.
We got an American heavyweight.
No, it's a big deal.
Yeah, we like with Ali and Foreman and Frazier, Kid Larry Holmes, Mike Tyson. Mm. But for the longest, the heavyweights are playing defensive end and power forward in the NBA and the NFL now.
They are.
Because you look at Wilder,
their
6'7".
Size alone,
he should be playing basketball. He should be a defensive end.
Yep.
The cheapest ticket right now, and this is the upper bowl, is just under $500. So, I mean, the popularity for this in Vegas, couple days.
I may take the old private jet and shoot on out.
Are you?
Doubt you're going to do that, but
I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about
thinking
it.
Thinking about it?
Thinking about it. Take the old G6.
Must
you know,
be
I got
nice.
Old G6.
Must be
park
nice.
Park that by an eye right yeah. now. Oh,
you got it okay. parked in your driveway.
Now that's it by an eye.
Feel free to share with me anytime. No mercy. The Lakers are set to open their second half of the season Friday night, and their roster is seemingly set for the playoffs after missing out on Marcus Morris and Reggie Jackson, both of whom went to the rival Clippers. Even Magic Johnson can see the Clippers have a deeper roster right now. Magic said the Clippers are probably better man-to-man when it comes to the bench over the Lakers. In a series between the two teams, Magic said it would come down to LeBron and Anthony Davis needing to dominate and find a third scorer. So, Shannon, did Magic say anything here that surprised you?
No. I mean, the great Magic Johnson basically confirmed what I said yesterday, Skip Bayless. Hmm. You know what? I'm about to hit up an old basketball guy or something. The way I be talking about this whole dropping the
oh, knowledge. You are? You're
yeah,
a basketball
think
guy?
About that. You know, I ain't go to 9 finals in 12 years like Magic, win 5, you know, be 3 MVPs. But you know what I'm saying, Skip. Look, he's right. And even if AD and LeBron dominate, which I believe they will, Paul George and Kawhi can neutralize that, okay? Because, Skip, if you remember the finals, the first finals that when KD first got there, if you look at KD and Steph, LeBron and Kyrie basically played him to a push. But it was Draymond, it was Klay, and the others that the other three, four, five guys that were going to play couldn't match that depth. Mm. You're getting 38 points a night between Lou Williams and Trez Harrell. Mm-hmm. They're 1-2 right now, Skip, for sixth man of the year. Probably going to be Lou Will because Lou can go get 50. There are very few guys in the history of the game that can come off the bench and give you 50. Lou Williams can do that. Trez Harrell is going to shoot a high percentage. He gets somebody one-on-one. Normally it's a slower guy, Skip. He first step you, he get into the basket. He's going to give you double-digit rebounds on most nights. So, yeah, there's no question about it. And Magic said, who's going to be the third guy? And see, Skip, I don't think it needs to be the same guy every night. Can Kuz give us 21 night? Can Danny Green give us 21 night? Can Avery Bradley? Most of the time, Skip, we don't get that. Mm. So, yes, Magic is absolutely right. Mm. But even if they dominate, it's not like Kawhi the scrub. Kawhi can dominate. Mm. Paul George, we don't know his health. We've seen Paul George. Now, Paul George hadn't consistently dominated when he was in Indiana, Skip. He and LeBron had some battles when they were when he was in Miami and LeBron went back to Cleveland. They had some battles. But we haven't seen that when he was at OKC, so we'll see if he can get back to that. But they can neutralize him. Let's just say the Stars play to a 60-65 tie. 65 for AD and LeBron, 60-65 for Paul George and Kawhi. Okay, what are they going to do about Lou? What are they going to do about Trez? Landry Shamet, Morris, Reggie Jack. So, yeah, unless we can find a guy, a third guy that's going to give us somewhere between 18 and 22 to be able to offset, Skip, yeah, we got our work cut out for us. No question about it. And Magic is absolutely right.
So I was very surprised by two things that Magic Johnson said. First, that he acknowledged that the Clippers are probably better down the bench. That's a strong statement from Magic Johnson.
Eli.
Okay, but he sort of represents the Lakers as an unofficial ambassador.
But you just can't ball. I mean, I guess you can bald-faced lie. I mean, sometimes we see it a lot. But anyway, but you just can't lie to Skip. I mean, when they got Trez and Lou, what we got on our bench that's better than Trez and Lou?
And obviously, Magic was the sort of team builder for the Lakers.
Yeah,
and now he's no longer. Yeah. And now Rob Pelinka, who he wants to accuse
but did
of
he
stabbing
you,
him in the back.
But did he tell you the reason why they got AD was because of him?
He did say that. But again, it was Rob Pelinka who then had to assemble on the fly after they got sort of left for dead by Kawhi Leonard, the team that we see in action right now. And by the way, before I continue, I about fell off my chair yesterday when I read that the Lakers are interested if Mo Harkless gets bought out.
Mo Hart? Yeah, we
wait
got
a second.
Mo Hart.
So help me out here. The guy that the Clippers said, yeah, we'll throw in Mo Hark, right?
Yeah.
We'll throw him into the trade to the Knicks. We'll get rid of Mo Harkless because they did not love the money they had given to Mo Harkless. So now the Lakers are saying, yeah, give us your retread. Give us your hand-me-down. Give us what you didn't want.
But it happened. Hold on. You signed two guys that nobody wanted. Reggie Jackson is on your roster because Detroit said you could have him. Okay, the Knicks.
Wait a second. If Reggie, he was on the market, the Lakers want him just as badly as the Clippers did. Everybody wanted Reggie Jackson.
First of all, Skip Bayless.
Any contender would want Reggie Jackson.
Mo Harkless was on the Clippers. Mm. So at one point in time, so they did want him.
Yeah, but then they didn't want him.
Well, they
managed to give him away.
We'll get it.
And keep Landry Shamet.
Watch what O'Bron do with Mo. Watch what LeBron can do with him. Knock down them big threes.
I say good luck to you and your bench. No, I'm just saying. You guys want Mo Harkless
now
he was discarded by the Clippers?
Call him Mo Better Harkless.
Okay.
Because he'll be better with us than he would with y'all.
In fact, the more I talk about it, I'm shocked that Magic would acknowledge they're probably better top to bottom. Wow, that's a statement from that guy. Okay, and then we go, we got Anthony and LeBron. They have to dominate. I'll certainly give you, that's like obvious. They're going to have to dominate because, by the way, they have not dominated in the first two games these teams played, right?
One, they get off to great starts and then they fizzle. Because you remember, Skip, the first half, AD had like 20 points. And he was dominating because they was throwing it down to him on the block and he was posting, shooting up over. He was up and under. So he was dominating. But he's going to have to do that. I mean, basically, Skip, if they're not going to get third scoring on a consistent basis, they might have to go to 75, 80 points. Mm. It might have to be like Kyrie and LeBron did in game five. Mm. Skip, remember when they went to Golden State?
Yeah.
Both had 41. LeBron had 41, 16, and 8. Mm. And Kyrie was spectacular.
Okay.
It might have to be a situation like that. Well,
just for the record, in the opening night game, it was tied after three quarters. And LeBron scored 2 and AD scored 0 in the fourth quarter.
Won't happen again.
Okay? And they got basically blown away.
It won't happen again.
Then it did happen again because on Christmas Day, the Lakers were up 7 with 6:39 left in the game. 7 points. And Kawhi Leonard from that point scored 9 points of his 11 in the fourth. And guess what the score was from that point on? It was 17-5 Clippers. So your two guys are going to have to come up much bigger than these two games, right?
Even 60 points between the two might not be enough. Okay. It might have to be 70, 80.
Which brings me to Magic's third statement, which is, then we're going to need that third score. That was the biggest mouthful because to your point, you don't have a third score. You have nobody you can count on. Well, the other team has everybody they can count on.
You know,
starting with the sixth man of the year.
Lou and Trez. Like I said, they're averaging 38 between the two of them.
Count on them. Count on them. And then to your point, Reggie Jackson can just go off on any given night, right?
Yes.
And Marcus Morris will take and make big threes in the fourth quarter.
He did it in Boston.
He did it in Boston. So that brings me to the Lakers. And you say, well, Danny Green could give you 20. Show me when. I don't know.
Skip, you remember the first night?
Yeah.
Danny Green was letting them three fly. He had 28. Oh, Danny Green. Oh, Danny. Oh, he came. Oh, Danny.
In a game that matters? I'll give you this. He hit that big shot in the corner at Dallas. Remember that?
And then we got KCP. KCP. Right.
You trust him? Because you often don't like KCP.
It'd be raining threes on me.
Really?
Yeah, they hit them threes.
Okay, Avery Bradley, you said he's good for 20 points on any given night. Which given night?
You know,
I don't know. I'll give you any night. Yeah, you won't get 20.
Might have been Portland. He gave us 20. He gave us big shot.
Oh, boy, that's
rare. But that's the thing.
Okay, which brings me back to Kyle Kuzma. Somehow, he never fit or clicked. And I thought he was your closer. And somehow, he's not in the click, as in C-L-I-Q-U-E, of those two. They've sort of pushed him off to the side.
We ain't pushed him. He pushed himself.
He ain't one of us.
He pushed himself.
Right?
Go shooting 2 or 12 from the floor and getting 5 points.
Okay, so it's not a big three. It's a big two.
Yeah. We ain't even got a possible. If you play spades, you know what I'm talking about. They ask you how many books you got. I got 3 and a push. Four and a possible. We got just 2. I got for sure 2.
Magic Johnson knows that he was winning championships because every night he needed James Worthy to be the third scorer, he was.
Yeah.
And when he needed Byron to be the third scorer, he could really be the third scorer.
He had this guy who had Coop.
Yeah.
And this game, you know, he had McAdoo. He had Michael Cooper.
Right.
So he had, And he had Michael Thompson.
Okay. I don't know. This looks like 2 against 12 to me.
Oh!
I don't know.
So is that what you're saying?
Mm.
So LeBron James really handicapped. Mm. So if LeBron James were to pull this off.
He's top heavy as you know what.
Oh.
As he said once upon a time. They still are.
We way. At least, Skip, we can count on Kevin Love. It might be every other game, but he give us 17.
Mm.
Can we count
I'll give you this for your Lakers. You're tall. You got tall guys. You're really tall.
Compliment from you,
yeah.
Skip.
Hey, Skip, you know really, probably our third best player been Dwight Howard.
Mm.
Why you bumping him?
You know what? He has been. I would agree.
Mm.
He's been phenomenal.
Right. Unbelievable.
I don't even know who he is anymore.
Yeah.
He's the guy I always wanted him to be. He's that guy now. Maybe he is your third guy. I don't know. No mercy.
In the latest poll from ESPN NBA Insiders, it was the two superstars in LA who received the most votes for who you would want on your team in a final series. LeBron led the way with just over 45% of the vote, followed by Kawhi with 23%. And Giannis Antetokounmpo with 20. Other players who did receive votes were Kevin Durant with 5%, and Luka Doncic and Steph Curry each had just under 3%. We're now joined by Fox Sports NBA analyst Stephen Jackson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good to have you. So, Stephen, do you agree with this breakdown?
No.
Oh.
Ooh.
Because I know this breakdown is all determined of if KD's hurt or healthy, right?
No, KD was on there. He got some votes.
Yeah, but I don't think that's determined on if he was healthy. Because if he was healthy, he'll be way higher.
He'd be higher than five.
Way higher.
Okay,
good point.
If KD was healthy, I would go KD. But since he's not healthy, I got to go with the King. I can't put nobody else before the King. Kawhi's been, he's played great, but LeBron has shown too much dominance in his career. And if I had to just start with somebody to build a championship team and have a championship team, it got to be the King. I wouldn't even disrespect him like that.
But you actually said the real King is hurt. Right.
Yeah, if KD wasn't hurt, I'm going with KD.
Aha. Uh-huh. There you go.
Nah.
Somebody else.
Because
somebody else said that on the show.
Let me tell you why I take LeBron James. And I'm take all this. You take LeBron because he's the one guy that if scoring goes away, he can dominate in other aspects. Mm-hmm. He can get you double-digit assists. He can get you double-digit rebounds. Skip, you remember when Jordan, when he first came back in 94, they're playing in the Garden. It was a double nickel game. Mm-hmm. But Michael Jordan's greatest thing, it wasn't the shot. It was the pass to Bill Weddington, which he dunked it with like 6 seconds on the clock, and they ended up winning the game.
That's true.
So it goes to show you that sometimes you're not going to have it scoring. But what can you do when that goes away? Can you influence, impact the game in another way? Mm-hmm. And I don't believe any of these other guys, and KD's unbelievable. KD is special, 7 foot tall, got a range. When he pulls up to shoot that jumper, you're not blocking it. So I would have loved to see Giannis try to block Kevin Durant fall away jumper when he shoot that thing, skip at about a 10-foot apex. That's not happening. But because LeBron James, nobody can control the tempo of the game like he can.
I agree with that.
If he want to get it up and down, he can. Yeah. If he wants to slow it down and make it a half-court game, mm-hmm. he can. So for me, that's good enough for me, and I've seen him do it.
Mm. If he wants to turn it over, he can.
There you go. See,
if he wants to miss a game-winning shot, he can.
See, there you go.
He can.
Everybody miss game-winning shot.
Do you realize, I need to point this out for our faithful viewers,
please.
That is the first time this entire NBA season you have referred to that guy in purple and gold number 23 as you just called him LeBron James, because every other reference the whole year has been Goat James.
Yeah.
I don't know what got into you. I don't think you're that convicted of this argument.
Oh, I'm very convicted.
I think you don't really buy what you're
No. It's not even, Skip, it's not even close.
Mm.
It's not even really close. Because nobody, like I said, nobody else can impact the game like he can. Because, can KD score like he can? Can Kawhi score? Can Giannis? But as far as, like, okay, what happens if the scoring goes away? You have an off night.
Well, some of those other guys can impact the game way more than offense. Like Giannis and Kawhi. Kawhi can impact the game on defense.
Oh, LeBron, do you know who's the number one in defensive rookie?
No. I understand that, but I'm saying impact the whole game.
Media fanboys.
See, there you go.
I do.
Don't skip that. You know,
I haven't seen that, man.
Oh, you saw that.
And I'm not saying LeBron can't. One of the biggest blocks ever in finals history.
The biggest. It's the block heard around the world.
Right. Wait, are you talking about the one where J.R. Smith cut underneath? Right? Cut underneath Iguodala and slowed him down where he had to sort
there
of
you
change
go.
His
Iggy,
footwork.
Iggy got to dunk that. It's the finals to win the game. He got to go up and try to dunk
but
that.
JR got there first.
He did.
And LeBron got there second.
Yeah, bam, bam.
Okay.
But guess what? We never seen anybody lead an NBA finals in every statistical category.
Right.
Points, rebound, assists, steals, blocks. Skip, is that possible?
He can stuff that stat.
There you go. See, now he's
stuffed it. Who made the shot of shots in Game 7? Who won the game?
Kyrie.
So we're going to disregard that triple dub.
Oh, no, I did.
No, it's good.
So what we're going to do about the game five and six with 41, 16, 12?
Mm-hmm.
So we just gonna throw that. Oh, Kyrie made the shot. Mm-hmm. You're not even in that position to make the shot if it ain't for GOAT.
Mm. Right. Who is the reigning finals MVP, as you pointed out yesterday?
The Claw.
It's the Claw.
Yeah.
You know the Claw.
Hit the luckiest shot. Hit the luckiest shot. Hold on. You last year, you hit me on my head.
He did a lucky shot.
And Kemp, and
I remember.
Stack, mm-hmm. He played this thing like, the only thing that he played more was LeBron lowlights when he threw the ball in front of the backboard.
The blooper reel.
Yeah. Yeah. He rolled the ball out of bounds.
Are you asking for the
blooper? No, man.
It's been retired.
But he talked about Kawhi hit the luckiest shot.
He did.
In NBA history.
Well, it was. Okay, it's so what's your point?
But now you
it all, went in.
Now all of a sudden, you hyped. Now all of a sudden, yeah. You hyped about
well,
Kawhi.
What have I told you 100 times? For 3 years, 4 years, he was my favorite player in the mm-hmm. history of the Spurs. I'm in here banging the table. I'm saying he's the best two-way player in basketball, and you're like, ah, get him out of here. And then he quit on my team.
He didn't like it. He was hurt.
Yeah, I have forgiven. I have not forgotten that he quit on my team. But that's okay. I'm back on the bandwagon because he is driving the biggest, best bandwagon in this league right now. And again, Mo Harkless? You want Mo Harkless?
Mo better.
So the point is, do I trust Kawhi right now a little more than LeBron James? Yeah, I do. I just do. I'm with you because...
Are you sure he's going to be there every game in the playoffs? Are you sure about that?
He's always Kawhi. Been there every game.
Are you sure?
In the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah. He gonna be
you sure?
Yeah.
Mm. He's going to be 100%.
He's going to be there.
No, 100%.
He's going to be there.
Okay.
So he was the finals MVP in 2014 when they blew LeBron's team off the floor by a record finals
margin. I mean, he did an unbelievable job on LeBron. Mm-hmm. LeBron just averaged 28-8-8. Mm-hmm. But he did a great job.
Mm. He won, too.
Was any game even close?
I mean.
You know numbers don't matter if you don't win, Shannon.
So were you anticipating
D-Wade? You know that.
Were you anticipating D-Wade giving you 14?
It ain't about what you're anticipating. Mm. Numbers don't matter if you don't finish the job.
By the way, I forgot to add, 2014, do you remember game one at San Antonio? Only one player on the court cramped the whole fourth quarter. He's limping the whole fourth quarter. LeBron James.
But when you know, Stacks, when you that size and you exerting that kind of energy, Skip, y'all pay your bill.
Huh.
You got a... worth $1 billion and you won't pay your bills. So there you
did. Did Tim Duncan cramp? No, he's a big guy. He's bigger than LeBron.
Tim Duncan played like 20 minutes. Okay. Tim Duncan wasn't getting up and down the court like that. Stop. You know what, Skip? Mm. Why you keep trying to undermine the king?
The king?
Yeah, go
James. The king anymore. The king is rehabbing his Achilles tendon right now.
No. Stop. Yep. You already know GOAT James. No. It's GOAT James. Stacks, you need to stop this. Now, you know when they were neutral. Head-to-head, Cleveland, Miami, head-to-head. The score was 17-5, GOAT James. That's what it was. With KD and LeBron was playing head-to-head in Cleveland and Miami, and he was in OKC, GOAT James. Now, he went linked up with the Wonder Twins, Steph and Clay, and then he got the upper hand. You know that, Stacks. Now, tell the truth.
And help me out. Who was the back-to-back MVPs of those two finals, 2017?
So LeBron James has never been back-to-back finals MVP.
Well, I don't really care. I'm just talking about recent history because it was Kevin Durant. And who went into LeBron's house back-to-back game threes? I was shocked by this because I didn't think Kevin had it in him. He took over two game threes in a row to just take the whole series over.
Now, if LeBron had go join Kobe in 2010, because Kobe had just won the finals. You know, he went back-to-back against the Celtics. Now, if LeBron had done that, because your boy, that's what your boy did.
I would have enjoyed it.
Huh?
It's all about winning to me. I don't care where you go. It's about winning.
Wait a second. What did Draymond and Steph and Clay, for that matter, what did they all admit publicly? We need that guy.
They called him.
Hold on. But what did they need him for? Who did they need him for?
Go James. Okay.
And who did he outplay in two finals? Go James.
Yeah. Yeah.
He outplayed him twice. And he's not Go James. He's phony Go James.
You know what it's that? You know this. You know one player. Yeah. Yes, he can have an outstanding game, but there's a reason why Michael Jordan never beat the Big Three Celtics. He's better than Bird head-to-head. He's better than Parrish. He's better than McHale. But collectively...
Okay, Shannon, that was an all-time great team.
Yeah.
Like,
what the hell is Golden State?
All-time great.
They wanted to fight. No matter how you look at it, 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, that championship team with the Golden State Warriors is one of the five best title teams ever.
And in game one, 2018 at Oracle, Goat James played like a goat. I'm talking about.
Oh, my God.
He did. He'd scored, what, 50 points?
Yes.
I forget what he.
They shouldn't have lost that game.
He had the hottest hand I've ever seen from outside the paint for him. Mm-hmm. And he's got the ball in his hands with 10 seconds left and gets a switch with Steph on him. And he does not. He's got the shot of shots. He's got a free throw line jump shot, and he turns it down in favor of hitting George Hill.
For a layup.
Yeah.
Now, when Michael Jordan had that opportunity in the game that I mentioned in the Garden, he dropped a double nickel. He had a jumper. But what did he do? He jumped and shoot it, and he passed the ball to Wedling for a dunk. Yep.
Okay, but that was for a dunk. This is for free throws.
Skip the man.
Play fouled him.
Okay. If somebody would have fouled Whittington, he'd had to go to the line to make the free throw.
He was wide open for a dunk.
George got to make them free throws. George got to make them free throws.
But he never has made them.
He's an 80% career guy.
Got to make
it. And then what did LeBron do? He goes and sits three seats down from his teammates, and he pouts through the break.
Out of his mind, too. I'm paying you all this money. You can't make two free throws.
He's talking about, well, if they'd have told LeBron, you're going to go into overtime. I said, no, but you got to tell LeBron how you got to overtime. George Hill is going to miss a free throw. J.R. Smith is going to grab the rebound 3 feet from the basket. But instead of shooting
it. So you're going to quit? That's what you're telling me. You quit? Is that excuses to quit?
Is that what the Spurs did?
Huh?
After Ray Allen hit that shot, did they quit?
No.
Oh, what about Game 7?
They got shot in the heart. That's different. Yeah. That wasn't. Wait. That wasn't self-destruction. That was Ray Allen made the greatest clutch shot you will ever see.
Hold on. Manu missed a free throw.
That was karma.
Hold on.
Cutting me for the playoffs. Yeah.
Didn't Manu miss a free throw? There's another guy that missed a free throw also. Can you skip? I want you to tell the people at home because there are a lot of people that weren't watching basketball back then.
He was 19 years old.
Oh, my God. I didn't ask you his age. I asked you his name. Mm. His name wasn't 19. He's not a British agent. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who 19 is. I don't know who 007 is. Mm. I need to know the guy that missed
number two. And he played like number two that night at the free throw line. Yep.
And then, Gojay, what happened when he got to overtime? Mm. Who took that game over?
Did Kawhi win Defensive Player of the Year and Finals MVP in the same year? Mm-hmm. Didn't Jordan do that too?
Yep.
No. I don't think he won them in the same year.
Mm. Okay.
He won them back to back. He won them back to back, but they
Well, there you go.
No, Jordan is the only one to win Defensive Player of the Year mm-hmm. and the MVP in the same season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, mm-hmm. Stephen.
But we should have had it too. They gave it to Marc Gasol. You know he's supposed to have that thing with Marc Gasol stack. You know
it. Marc had a good year, but anytime LeBron is in the rankings, he should win it. I'm sorry.
Goat James.
Mm. You are just
your day
I'm trying
coming.
To wrap this thing up, but you're
wait,
still
I gotta
going.
Get this all straight.
Okay.
So you believe LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan?
No.
No. Okay, thank
that.
You. Case okay. closed. You can
We're
never
done.
Say that
Moving
again.
We're done. Moving on, no Stephen.
Thank
Thanks
you.
Again for being here.
No mercy.
And we are now joined by All-Pro left tackle and Super Bowl 52 champ, Lane Johnson. Lane, so good to have you with us. I'm looking forward to it, although Skip, he's been a bit conflicted about this all
I'm
morning.
I'm extremely conflicted because I was born and raised a huge University of Oklahoma football fan, and you were a great player for my Sooners, but I don't like much of anything about your Philadelphia Eagles, so I got a problem today, but I'm going to try to wade through it. So here we go.
I hear you, I understand.
So I have always wanted to ask you this, speaking of the University of Oklahoma. Okay. You were a very good high school quarterback. You went to Kilgore Junior College in large part to play quarterback, right? You played a little bit of tight end there. Then you get signed by my Sooners, and you go up there as kind of a quasi-tight end.
Just an athlete.
Right? Just an athlete. Right? And the segue over a two-year period from a star quarterback to you play defensive line a little bit, and all of a sudden you wind up as a star offensive tackle, right? And then left tackle. I have never heard of anyone going from quarterback to left tackle. It's never happened before.
I never thought it was going to ever happen.
Okay. And how did it happen?
Nobody dreams of being an offensive lineman. they did a similar thing with Jamal Brown. I think when he got there, he was a few years ahead of me, but he was a defensive tackle. And so the same guy, Mark Mangino at Kansas, ended up talking to Stoops about moving him. Ended up converting, was a three-time Pro Bowler at left tackle for the Redskins.
Yep.
And then, he comes up to me that spring. I'm going to my junior year, and our right tackle gets hurt, and he says, "Do you want to play?" I said, "No." few more weeks.
What were you at that point?
I was probably 275, 280.
And what position you were playing?
I was playing defensive end.
You were? Okay. Yeah. So you'd gone?
So, I was a rotational guy during the spring. And so Our guy went down, I believe his name, Jarvis Jones, went down, knee injury, and then next thing I know, I'm kick sliding and been here ever since. So it all went by fast. But, yeah, I mean, going into college, my coach, who actually played Oklahoma, Keith Thomas, he said, you're not going to be a quarterback. And and after that terrible year at Kilgore, I threw a lot of pick sixes.
You threw a lot of pick sixes.
Had more tackles than touchdowns. So so after that, changed up and things
started
going right.
Okay, so what happened the first day you're trying to play tackle? And you've gone from quarterback to trying to block for the quarterback. What was that like?
Yeah, so actually I was playing defensive end. We're in the pass rush drill, and I rush the passer, and the next thing I know, I'm over there kicking back, and I was like, hey, it's kind of like it's pretty similar to basketball, which I played a lot growing up, and next thing you know, here we are.
So having the magic feet at your position is key, right?
Yeah, I think, I mean, when you look at tackles now, the guys are so explosive out the edge. It's all about, you got to have some quick twitch fiber and you got to have, you got to get off that ball. And so I think, you look at guys around the league, athletes, Tyron Smith, Joe Staley.
Yep.
I think those are, top of guys, at least I model my game around coming out. Mm.
So when you're setting up, obviously you're studying the guy and you have to study a lot of guys because they rotate so much. What's more difficult for you, to try to kick in space, the guy in the wide nine, or you prepare for the bull?
Well, you got to be prepared at all times. But one thing Jason Peters always said to me is that the defensive end is going to react off of what you present him.
Right.
So, nine times out of ten, if I'm sitting back quick, if I have a good low base, I'm going to be good. The thing happens is, sometimes you may overkick, and the defense line is looking for that space between the guard and tackle so they can run those games. Mm-hmm. So there's a fine line that you're living on.
Right.
And, that's the line that, every year, that's what we play. Hmm.
So let's talk some Eagles, Cowboys, shall we?
Let's talk it.
What was the difference in game number one last year and game number two in Philadelphia?
I remember, I think the second drive of the game, I gave up a strip sack to DeMarcus. So
did?
That didn't go well.
Yeah.
After that.
We're talking about, what was the score, 37-10, I think? Okay.
So,
hey, that was the first game.
Yeah, it wasn't looking good for us.
Yep.
And then, it was pretty similar to the year we had before, with just constant adversity, injuries, and, somehow we found a way towards the end to get it done. But, it's always a battle.
Okay, and then what happened in game two? What was the difference?
I was on the sideline watching. I was watching my guys compete. I felt like our, offensive line played pretty well. I think, some of the younger guys at receiver stepped up, Greg Ward. And really, this came down to a dogfight.
It came down to Cowboys being the Cowboys. They do Cowboys things when you need them to do what they're supposed to do. You could always count on the Cowboys doing Cowboys things, which is like not showing up.
Mm. Mm. Like the year before when they won a playoff game. And
you see. Yeah.
I
get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Right.
The man said he was on the sideline. Mm, he's on the sideline. Mm. Al Sharpton
on the
sideline.
Side.
Banged up. And walking to him. I gave Carson Wentz the name Walk It To Us because we had some long handoffs. I mean, he's throwing the ball 30, 40 yards. It's like a handoff in the backfield. Mm.
Yeah.
So how much better do you think Wentz is than Dak Prescott?
Man, it's hard. It's hard to compare. But I think, both of those guys are – I think they're elite quarterbacks. I think Dak does a good job not turning the ball over. He's, creates big plays, smart, intelligent guy. I've talked to him numerous times. Carson, I think, answered a lot of questions this year. When you have a lot of those injuries, a lot of your stars out – and he comes out there and is playing really consistent. Obviously, you like to have him healthy for the playoff game, maybe make another push. But, amongst all the criticism that he had this year, I think he did a good job of stepping up, ignoring it, and really just going to work. I mean, when I go into the building every day, I see a guy that's, there before everybody and kind of, not to sound cliche, but really putting in the time.
And speaking of the last offseason, the controversy, there was a big story, what was it called, the Philly Voice, had it about questioning his leadership abilities. Mm-hmm. And you defended him, as I recall. Seemed like a lot of the leaders defended him. What was your view of the criticism of his leadership?
Well, first of all, it's a weird predicament to be in. Mm-hmm. And I think he did a good job of addressing that. Coming forth with, some
the predicament, you mean Nick Foles?
Yeah. It is a weird situation, but ultimately I think he did a good job of handling it. He's a competitive guy, and I think, he addressed those questions. He answered that and then moved on. And so turned the page, had a great year this past year, and, ready for this year.
Were you surprised at how great Nick Foles played for you and how not great he played at Jacksonville?
How many games did he play at Jacksonville before? So you didn't really have a whole lot of time to read that. But, yeah, I was there with Nick my rookie year, 27-2. Yeah. So I've seen him play very well. And then the Super Bowl run just kind of – it all went by so fast, and you don't really have time to grasp it. Really, I think what we did with him, we shortened up the playbook, made it real simple, and really just, went on his strengths and what he does best. And
sometimes quarterbacks just fit locker rooms and they fit situations and they fit coaches. I mean, and he was the perfect
fit. He's a guy with no ego. Yep. I mean, you look at Nick Foles, he doesn't have an ego. And that's, you know, in this league, it's I think it's commendable.
I think the biggest thing, Nick, is I feel that the biggest thing that destroy careers is expectations.
Yes.
He stepped in. There was no expectation. Well, they lost Wentz. So if they lose, okay.
We had nothing to lose.
Right.
Yeah.
You go to Jacksonville. They give you the amount of money they gave him. They're expecting him. So the expectations are ramped up now. So they're expecting what we saw in Minnesota in the championship game, what we saw in the Super Bowl. That's what we should get now. And it doesn't necessarily work out that. The transition, let me ask you this. We were talking about it earlier this morning. We led the show with it. The Cowboys want Dak Prescott to give them a hometown discount, give them a break. Mm-hmm. Where are you at that with players giving team discounts?
I like players getting their money, to be honest. I'm not mad at them.
Yeah.
Because I think what that does, it helps other players with their contracts. You know, they compare, contrast, this and that. I'm not mad at guys getting their money. It is what it is. There's plenty of money to go around. Mm. So that's where I'm at.
You make very good money, but help me out. How many national TV ads have you done?
Hey, I'm an offensive lineman.
I know.
Who does it? Nobody does it.
Dak's got about 12.
Yeah.
He's got about 12, so he's making a whole lot of money off the field.
Yeah.
Right, Mr. Sharp?
So you're saying, hey, get a hometown discount and then let's help out the team. Okay. Y'all want in a perfect world?
That's how you do it.
No.
Yes.
I want my money.
No, you want the Cowboys to lose.
But here's the thing, and you came in under the system, Lane. They already suppress how much a guy can make coming into the league.
Yeah, the bar's set.
So we've already suppressed it here. Now we got a cap, we're going to suppress it there. Yeah. So in other words, we want you to fit in between here, but in fitting in between here, we want you to go here. Huh? Hmm. Where they do that at?
Hey, that's why they got agents, huh?
Exactly.
That's why they got them.
That's fair.
That's why you don't need a salary cap, and that's why you got to fight not to have one.
No.
And if you have to miss football games and lose some checks, you're going to have to
do
it.
He don't want a salary cap now because Jerry has the money, you know, the big teams.
Yeah, I got you.
And I got no problem with that.
I got you.
Yeah. Hey, if there's no cap, I'm golden.
Right? Yeah,
good to go.
I bet you are.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. So let's go back to the 2017 run. Who came up with the German Shepherd mask idea?
Chris Long did.
Was it Chris Long? I thought maybe you had, really? But I wasn't sure.
I mean, we were sitting there having lunch or dinner, one of those, and he talks about it, and I get on Amazon and kind of, hey, you know, Amazon, you can get anything on this.
Anything.
They say, you know, German Shepherd mask appear.
Huh. But you also made it famous because you wore one.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So the goal, you know, we played against the Falcons, and, you know, a lot of talk, everybody was injured, and so it wasn't, you know, had grim expectations, and so. Coming out there, we get the win. I give the mask to Jason Peters. He gives them to us after the game. Then next thing you know, I just think it kind of took off with the town of Philadelphia. I just think with kind of the Rocky, the kind of the feel.
Underdog.
Underdog, yeah. I think it just kind of went well with them.
Hmm. And were you threatening to bring them back out last year? Because you deserved them with all the injuries you guys had, right?
Yeah, but hey, it's kind of hard to duplicate that, so I'll just let that rest.
Yeah, one shot, one kill, Scott.
That's it.
So will you guarantee 2 Eagles victories next year over the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, hey, don't ask me dumb questions. I mean, hell yeah.
Hell yeah?
Hey,
I like
that's
that.
That's what I want to say. You better be confident.
I think we got a hell yeah.
Yes.
Right? Huh?
Yes.
Are you guaranteeing
you're not, first of all, you're not winning the division. I've already told you the Eagles got this division locked. They got the better quarterback. The best quarterback in the division resides in Philly.
Wait, he's the guy you say, my guy, the second best, you say he deserves $40 million. Yeah. Which is it?
Can you tell him how free agency works? Free agency is not about being good. It's about being free.
It's about the timing, too. It's all about timing.
And you know the goal, Skip. You know what the goal. Look here. I don't believe all those houses up in Malibu should start at $5 million. I don't, Skip.
Well, they should, too. It's location.
And Jack says, I play quarterback.
For the Cowboys, and I make $50 million off the field.
Off the field.
Hold on.
I hear what he's saying. Hey, he wants the best team possible. Yep. I get it. Mm-hmm. Hey, I understand.
Guess what Dak is? A team. Team Dak. Mm-hmm. So in other words, if you were doing national spots, they say, you know what? You got 5 national spots, Lane. Mm-hmm. We know you should get $70 million over 3 years, but we want to give you 50. What they got to do with your hard work? What they got to do with you being on the field? Because one injury, woof.
Yeah.
Because that money ain't guaranteed now. It ain't like football. It's not like basketball and baseball. Mike Trout gonna get all $350 million.
Mm.
I'm gonna say just a lot of it is about timing. And if you hit it, you hit it right, and you hit the market right, hey, good for you. And I ain't mad at anybody.
If you don't believe it, here's my thing. This is what I tell guys. If a team doesn't believe you're worth what you're asking for, tell them to let you free. Mm. Let the market bear it out.
That's interesting.
Okay.
Let it play itself out.
Yep. So once upon a time, you did take a little shot at the New England Patriots for being a little robotic, not having much fun. What do you think is about to happen to them with Tom Brady? What's your gut feeling? Where, do you think he goes back? You think he's elsewhere?
That's a good question. Personally, I don't know why would you let him walk after all he's done. I think, obviously, I think his record speaks for itself. I think New England will be successful with him, obviously, or without him. But I think it'll be a weird situation. I think I look at that. I think there's a good statement made whenever I think Brady got hurt that year. I think it was in 07. Matt Castle came in. They went 11-5. And so he has a good track record with, you know,
back Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
The first game that he got, remember he was suspended a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. The first four games he missed, they go 3-1.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. And before we let you go, you are a big boxing fan because you are on your way to a little big fight this weekend in Las Vegas on Saturday night, live on Fox and ESPN, I believe.
Yeah, both of them.
Pay-per-view. You are a Tyson Fury fan, correct?
Yeah. I like both guys, but I'm going for Fury.
A couple of more inches. I mean, you can look like Fury. You got the ball.
Be sleeping on the ground, too. I don't want no part of that boxing ring. But, no, I think it's going to be exciting, I think, with the first – the first matchup, I think you see the power of the great eraser with Wilder. Mm-hmm. I think Fury, the difference, he's a little bit heavier this fight, so obviously.
That might not be good, though.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, he talks about the conditioning, the European conditioning, so, you know, we'll see that. So, other than that, I mean, I think it's most exciting. Boxing has been in a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't think Tyson's going to sit there and march forward. You got to move in front of Wilder. Mm. So I think he'll do a lot of that and being precise with his punches.
So you want no part of that ring?
Even no.
At, what are you, 6? What are you, 6'5"?
6'6".
6'6", 320 something.
Yeah, right around there.
Okay. I don't know. You'd fit in this fight.
What's that quote? Everybody has a plan until they get hit in the mouth.
Exactly.
Hey, I think your pride gets checked a lot sooner out there than it does. You can hide behind a helmet and the football pads.
Exactly. It's a different. Throwing punches. I don't know if anybody's ever boxed, but just go get 3 minutes and just throw some punches.
Yeah. Change your life.
Mm. I think you found the right spot. You're in a good position, Lane. Thank you.
Yeah. Plus, he don't want to box. He's like, why would I want to box? And I got two easy victories a year against the Cowboys. He knocked DeMarco Lawrence out last year. You remember that, Skip?
I remember a strip sack in the first.
He got lucky. He got lucky. Yeah. What happened the year before? Choked him out.
Yeah.
I was on Lane kicking.
Either way, it's great TV. Hey, it's a great battle every time. So
you have almost made me like the Eagles today. Almost.
Did you get everything out of the way, Skip?
Yeah.
The meter's trending right now.
Yeah. Lane, thank you. I really appreciate you stopping by your way to Vegas. No mercy. Dak Prescott has yet to sign a new deal, which means that at this point, the Cowboys will have to either franchise tag the quarterback or allow him to become a free agent in March. And yesterday, Emmett Smith suggested that if Dak is the face of the franchise, then he should consider taking less money so they can sign Amari Cooper. And Dak can make up for the financial loss through all those endorsements that he already has at this point. So, Skip, are you surprised that Emmett said this?
I am pleasantly shocked he said this, and I want to publicly thank a man that I've done battle with several times in my career, Emmett Smith, for having the guts to go out on a limb and say what needed to be said.
It didn't need to be said.
To say what Michael Irvin has already said, that obviously Dak Prescott has a huge advantage over the other players on his football team and over many of the other quarterbacks in the National Football League because he is the quarterback of America's team. So because he's that, he has a dozen national TV commercials. He has made and will continue to make a ton of money off said 12 commercials. Mm-hmm. And for those who miss some of them, there's Campbell's Chunky Soup. I see that like every other commercial. I see Sleep Number Beds. They're great commercials. I want to get me a Sleep Number Bed just because of Dak Prescott.
It's working.
You want to get a Sleep Number Bed even though you want Tom Brady to replace that in Dallas. But okay, go ahead, continue.
Yeah. He's even got the yogurt ads that Cam once had, and I'll... I, I haven't tried them yet, but I'm thinking about it.
You ain't gonna eat no yogurt. You ain't gonna eat no yogurt.
I might eat a yogurt. And because the National Football League has this thing called a salary cap, and again, the players keep voting for it, so I can't stop it. I can't fix that. Because there is a cap, it severely can handicap a team from winning championships if you give too much money to the quarterback. So because his salary is already bumped up considerably by his dozen national TV ads, subsidized by national TV ads, why wouldn't he take an America's Team hometown discount as the quarterback of America's Team, just the way Tom Brady has taken for 20 years in New England? Brady made $23 million last year, and that was by far the most he's ever made in New England. All it helped do was make way for 9 Super Bowls with 6 championships because they had, excuse me, more cap money to spend on more players around Tom Brady. Mm. So here Dak is. He is now 1-2 in the playoffs. I can't defend that. He went 8-8 last year. I can't defend that. They missed the playoffs. He came up small in the clutch repeatedly last year. I definitely cannot defend that.
You can't defend that now.
No, I can't defend it. I love Dak Prescott, but it's not time for him to make $40 million. It's time for to do what Emmett Smith said. Instead of 35, go down to 28 because you're already making some like $50 million off the
deal. I love it, Jenny. This is what I love.
What?
I love how Skip Bayless, he can't defend 8-8. He can't defend no game-winning drives. Okay. But he still defended them during the season.
No, I defended his performance because he's putting up big numbers, but he didn't put up big.
If you defending his performance, mm-hmm. his performance would warrant $40 million a year.
No. Somebody kept giving him F's every Monday.
We're not talking about me. Okay. This is not about me.
I thought Dak performed statistically exceptionally well. But he doesn't have anything to show for it. They're 8-8.
Okay, you know what I love? Hmm. I love how it's always about the cap when it comes to paying somebody.
Well, why shouldn't it be?
Let me finish. Dez Bryant had $15 million owed to him that last year. Skip, how much of that money did he get? The Cowboys cut him.
Okay.
He got nothing. What about the cap, Skip?
Okay, well, you should get it up front. You got to get a guaranteed.
All of it.
Right? Kirk Cousins got guaranteed all of it.
$84 million. Right? $84 million.
All right.
Skip,
He's a quarterback. Dez was a receiver.
Oh, so see what he's. No. Dak, good, Dak, I'm glad you said that. Because when they gave Troy 8 for $50, mm-hmm. Troy wasn't worried about the core. Mm-hmm. He wasn't worried about what Emmett got. He wasn't worried about what Mike got. Everybody now, they want Dak. Mm-hmm. For the very first time, Dak is about to hit a payday. Because remember, he was Offensive Rookie of the Year mm-hmm. and probably made $500,000. Mm-hmm. Now, Jerry didn't come to him and say, you know what, this kid, but we got something. Let's get back to the table after his third year and give him a new deal, which they could have done. Mm-hmm. But they didn't do that, Jenny. Now, I've navigated a minefield. I know there are minefields. Sprained ankle, busted shoulder, knee, Achilles, concussion, shoulder. Mm. I navigate that minefield. Mm. I come out on the other side.
Yep.
Woo! And now you want me to, if I did that, give you a discount. I wish I might. Mm. Dak Prescott and Todd France. Woo! Oh, Todd France good. Mm. Todd France good. He from the crib, from the A. Anybody from the A, I already know they're on top of their bitch.
Oh, really?
On top of the game. Yeah.
Really?
And we know the cap has gone up 40% over the last 5 years.
We do.
Now, there's a hold on. Dak said, y'all want to get another game. Y'all want to go to 17. You want to add another playoff team. More money.
That's interesting.
And you want me to give you a discount. When and where and why?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I can't do that, Skip, baby. Mm. I can't do it. Yep. I love you, Jerry. Love you like a cousin, but I can't give you no discount.
Really? Well, in the end, just to point out for those who say, wait a second, Emmett's being a hypocrite because he held out for 2 games in early 1993.
Held it out.
They lost both games.
Lost them.
And he came back, and a lot of people thought he took Jerry to the cleaners. I wrote it. You can go look it up. At that time, I thought Emmett caved more than Jerry caved.
Wow.
They needed each other, but Emmett wanted to get back with the fellas and save the day, and he did because he won the MVP of the year and the Super Bowl.
Emmett also became the highest paid running back in NFL history by an average of $100,000. How is that
losing?
That's
like chicken feed.
Skip, not back. Skip, you got to realize when that was. That was 27 years ago.
Okay, he got 4 years, $13.6
million.
Yes. That was an average of 3.4 a year. He got a grand total of $4 million to sign.
Skip.
Guaranteed.
Skip, there was money wasn't like it is now. We looking at this numbers, we looking at the numbers now, and you see running back Adrian Peterson was making 13, 14 million a season.
Okay, but he was asking for 28 million and he settled for 13.6.
Skip.
Really?
Here's the thing. Skip, you reach for the stars.
Okay.
But if you land on the moon, you're happy.
Mm.
You see what it is? Mm. So Dak Prescott asked for $60 million.
Mm.
But if you get at 40, you're happy.
Yeah, he landed in Valley Ranch where their team facility was because he wasn't on the moon.
Skip.
He was just back to reality.
Skip. He was asking almost double what Dan Marino. Dan Marino was the highest paid player at the time.
Okay.
At $4.1 million a year. Emmitt Smith was asking double that. Skip, you know nobody's going to get. They always say, they say there's money and then there's quarterback money.
Thank you. That is true.
What position does Dak play?
Yeah, he plays quarterback for America's team.
They got it. They got it. They got it. And there's the thing. See, Jenny, that's the thing with us.
What?
This is why we can't really have businesses. And I tell guys this. Guy sent me a candle. He sent some candles here. I like the smell of them. I called him. I said, you know what? Can you make me some bigger candles? I embrace this black-owned business. I embrace the business. I ain't asking for no discount. Give them to me free. I'm going to try to make them profitable. I'm going to try to help the man grow. Why are they with us? I ain't never heard Emmitt. I ain't never heard Michael say anybody else. They ain't say Peyton Manning. I ain't never said Drew Brees. When Drew Brees gave a discount?
You wanted those candles for free. I know.
No. Not only did I say no. I asked him, could he make me even bigger candles to give him more money?
Oh.
But we do that, Jenny. You got a T-shirt. You don't ask Gucci for no discount. You don't ask Louis Vuitton for
no discount.
You pay
right.
full price.
Okay.
Hey, Tony Romo ain't getting to give you no discount. Troy Aikman ain't give you no discount. And I ain't giving you one. Dak don't do it.
You're always asking for LeBron's shoes. Hook me up.
I paid for them.
You did.
I paid for them.
I do not believe 1 ounce of that.
I paid for them. Sometimes.
A penny.
Sometimes.
You threw that in there right at the end.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.